But can you believe it? It's already the end of February, right? Yeah, fast. Very, very fast. So we're entering the third month of 2020 already. So as you can see on the screen, we're going to be starting a brand new series for the next 7 weeks. But before we get into that, how many of you guys were blessed from the 2020 Vision series that we just went through? Yeah, thank you for the feedback, you guys. You know, because as a pastoral staff, we pray through a lot of things, and you know, prayerfully, you know, in whatever season that we're in, you know, the Lord continues to speak to us loudly, right? And it's exciting when we know that, you know, God speaks to everyone and speaks through anybody and all that kind of stuff, and we see different transformation happening, you know, all over the place. And so these are the little miracles that we talk about all the time, right? But as we look forward to God's kingdom in Hawaii, and there's a specific reason why we're going to do this, but just kind of share with you a little bit, we're going to talk about the history of Christianity in Hawaii. And I will say that I am not a historian. I'm not a historian or anything like that. I don't have a degree in history or whatever. But just like you, I'm a student of our faith, right? And understanding how Christianity all started here in Hawaii, and it just so happened that it started 200 years ago. Pretty fascinating. So 200 years ago, Christianity came to Hawaii with the missionaries and all that. So I'll kind of get into that a little bit. But April 4th, as well, is when we're going to be celebrating our anniversary as a church, New Hope Central Oahu. But pardon me as I fast forward through my slides here. All right, so, oh, yeah, if we haven't met yet, I'm Pastor Glenn. If we haven't met, and of course you met my beautiful wife, Pastor Teresa. And so if you're joining us online, thank you. Welcome for joining us. And I know that we have a lot of Ohana, you know, joining us online. So good morning, everybody. And so excited for you to be here. So on the screen, we have a map, right? An old map. And I don't know about you, but have you ever wondered how the heck did the gospel ever begin, right, in Hawaii? And being that the gospel originated where? In the Middle East, absolutely, in Israel. So we know that 2,000 years ago, right, a man named Jesus Christ was born in a manger in a little town called Bethlehem, right? Going back to Christmas time, right? So, of course, he is the Savior of the world, right? He grew up as a carpenter's son. He grew up as a carpenter himself. And then he began his ministry at age 30. You know, his ministry lasted for about 3 years. But his ministry lasted for about 3 years, but in that span of time, he just rocked the world. Amen? And so he completely changed the world, turned the world upside down, or like me and my brother Carl like to say, changed the world right side up, the way that it ought to be. Amen? But how the heck did the gospel end up in Hawaii? Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. You guys see that? Here we are, little speck, you know, an island chain in the middle of the Pacific. You can't even see it. That's how insignificant we are in the grand scheme of things. Now think back to the 1800s. Think back to the 1700s. You think people really knew about Hawaii? No. Right? No, we didn't. So anyway, it's kind of going back. For I am the Lord, I do not change. The Lord is speaking through the prophet Malachi here. You know, and so we think about the Lord the same as he was 2,000 years ago, even before that, even before time. Okay, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For I am the Lord, he was the same 2,000 years ago, he was the same 200 years ago. Amen. That's pretty remarkable. That is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to kind of just scroll through this real quick. And as we do that, let's pray, brothers and sisters. Amen. Father God, we come before you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for this opportunity, Heavenly Father, to go through this series, God's Kingdom in Hawaii, to really look back and just like the song that we sang, hindsight, right? For I know that our God is not finished yet. If he did it before, he can do it again. Amen. And so we look forward to the wonderful things that God is doing as he establishes his kingdom here on earth. And it's a wonderful privilege to be a part of that. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And all in agreement say, amen. So the main thing that I want you to go home with this morning, brothers and sisters, that we are all part of a long lineage, right, of Christians starting back in 1820. How is that, right? Pretty incredible. So, anyway, God's Kingdom in Hawaii. And I found these quotes right here because, you know, as I was kind of preparing through the message and then just kind of, you know, just exchanging notes with Pastor Mike and talking about it with Pastor Teresa, you know, Pastor Teresa said, and we kind of discussed this, and we said, well, how are we going to explain all this without sounding like it's a history lesson? Yeah. Right? Because I don't want to put you guys to sleep, amen? I don't know if you guys remember your history classes back in high school and college. I don't know if you guys get excited about that kind of stuff. I did. Right? Woo! I did, right? That's my daughter. She went to Princeton for a little bit. But, you know? So I got excited about, but I'm not just going to throw at you, you know, different names and dates, and you know, but I might quiz you at the end. Okay? We have a pop quiz, right, Auntie Pam? Auntie Pam's going to pass out a pop quiz, so we're going to quiz you guys. But I found this quote from Maya Angelou and another one from Martin Luther King. And so I hope this kind of, you know, softens the blow a little bit, that it's not going to just be a history lesson, right? But Maya Angelou, she said, the more you know of your history, the more liberated you are. Now, I understand and I know that Maya Angelou was talking about it in a different context. Can we just get that right? She's talking about it in a different context, okay? But if we take what she said, the principle that she's talking about, and if we know, the more you know about our history, so our history, our context is Christianity here in Hawaii, the more we know of our history, the more liberated we are. So what does that mean? How can we apply that to how we're living today? Well, I believe, you know, maybe this is just some examples for you, just kind of get the wheels turning, just kind of grease the wheels a little bit, but the more liberated you are to understand that God indeed is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God never changes. And if he did it before, he can do it again, right? And if God is unchanging, he is the uncreated one, he is the unchanging one, don't you think that you can rely on God? And if you can rely on God, you can find security in God. And when you find security in God, doesn't that give you doesn't that liberate you? It's because you don't have to find security in anything else. Because the one thing, and I believe one of the main things that God came to Hawaii is because he wanted to put an end to idol worship. Amen. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you may not be, you know, worshiping different statues and different things like that, but there's social media, there's TV, there's movies, all kinds of stuff that we can all start idolizing in our life. We can even idolize our spouses. Come on, somebody. We can idolize our girlfriends and boyfriends. Idolizing something is putting that something or someone before Jesus Christ, right? So becoming liberated when we understand who God is, his identity, but more significantly, I believe, as we look in history, that we begin to understand who we are. Because the Word of God says our identity is found in Jesus Christ. Whew, that's liberating. Don't you agree? I feel liberated because then I'm not like defined by the world and allowing the world to dictate who I am, right? Martin Luther King, another smart guy, he said this. He says, we are not makers of his story, and I will contend that it is God who is the maker of history, okay? We are not makers of history, but we are made by history. Now, think about that, and I hope you kind of just go home and kind of stew on that a little bit. How has history made you? Right, in context of what we're talking about. the history of Christianity here in Hawaii, right? Now some of you, right, flow Hawaiian blood in your veins, right? By a show of hands, how many of you have Hawaiian blood in your veins, right? Yeah, absolutely. You are a blessed people. Can I just get that out of the way? Woo! Blessed people. There's a reason why God came, and he came to the Hawaiian people through one man. And we're going to talk about this one man, okay? So understand that. Go home with that. Feel encouraged that the Hawaiian people are a blessed people. Amen. Feel liberated. Find the freedom in that. Feel great about that. Hallelujah. So we are made by history. Now, how many of you guys know the state motto? Come on, if you have a 575 social security number, if you guys were born in Hawaii, this should just roll off your tongue. Can I get an amen? For all of you born in Hawaii, let's just say it. The motto, the state motto of Hawaii is ready, go. Ua mau ke ea o ka aina I ka pono. Okay, right. State of Hawaii. And of course, we know that the state of Hawaii became a state in 1959, right? As a matter of fact, August 21st, right? Statehood Day. That's Braden's birthday. August 21st. Anyway, so Ua mau ke ea o ka aina I ka pono. Okay, so, you know, the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because this is a fascinating fact. Okay? Ua mau ke ea o ka aina I ka pono. Now, we grew up learning that it means, it can be translated as the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness. Yeah? Everybody with me? All those born in Hawaii? Right? I'm not off base or anything like that. And I will trust that you will tell me if I am off base. Right? I have a lot of Kamehameha grads in here. Hallelujah. But the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness. Now here is the thing, right? Now perhaps that is a misunderstanding, okay? And I don't want to, you know, stir up any controversy, but just know this, be aware of this, okay? So the life of the land is perpetuated in righteousness. More accurately, it was supposed to have said, I believe, the sovereignty of the land is perpetuated in righteousness. Right? Consider that. Going around, a lot of people believe, a lot of scholars believe that it was mistranslated. And it was supposed to have meant the sovereignty of the land is perpetuated in righteousness. Now we'll get into the sovereignty thing a little bit. And where did this come from? Where did this come from? Queen Keopuʻulani, okay? She was the wife, she was the favorite wife of Kamehameha the Great. Okay, now if you guys know the story of Kamehameha the Great, he was the king, he's the guy over there, the state capital, and he has his hand out like this, in friendship and in love. You guys know, you guys see the statue out there in Honolulu? Okay. He truly was great, I believe. And I believe he was used by God to unite all the islands. And some of you guys know the story of how, you know, there were tribal warfare going on, and a little bit more of that later. And then Kamehameha the Great, he came and he united all the islands together. But his favorite wife, Queen Keopuʻulani, she was the mother of Kamehameha the Second, right, Third, Liholiho, and Kawikea Ouli, right? She said, the sovereignty of the land is perpetuated in righteousness in Christ Jesus. Oh, really? Be aware of that. But even back then, brothers and sisters, she died in 1823. Even back then, 1823, people had to be politically correct still. So you think political correctness is a new thing? No. Now, the population of Hawaii at that time, right, was on a surge, right? Roughly about that time, there were about 120,000 people living in Hawaii. 100,000 people converted to Christianity. So there was a small percentage of people still honoring the old ways, worshiping the old gods, the pagan gods. And so even at that time, they wanted to be politically correct. But a lot of scholars believe that what she meant was the sovereignty of the land is perpetuated in righteousness in Christ Jesus, because at that time, Queen Keopuʻulani, she already converted to Christianity. Fascinating, right? So the sovereignty, I believe she meant the monarchy, right? Her lineage of her husband, her children, her sons, her, you know, the daughters that came after her. The monarchy, right, is perpetuated in righteousness in Christ Jesus, meaning that everybody, all her descendants were all Christian at that time. Fascinating, right? So just know that. The sovereignty of the land. Now, I believe when we talk about sovereignty, sovereignty meaning, you know, kings and queens. There is one ruler in the land. And of course, I will contend that the King of Kings of the land, right, is perpetuated. Perpetuated means ongoing, flourishing, abundance. Perpetuated in righteousness, of course, in Christ Jesus. I will look to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So in reality, it should have said, perhaps, ua mau ke ea o ka aina I ka pono ia, Iesu Kristo. Amen. You guys can respond. You guys don't have to be quiet. You know, I'm just, you know. Woo! Yeah. So we look to Matthew 6:10, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done in Hawaii as it is in heaven, right? And so we all have that shirt. I don't know if you guys have seen those shirts, the one that Greg Ofeish is wearing, in Hawaii as it is in heaven, right? There's a reason why we came out with those shirts last year, hallelujah, because we were looking forward to this. So, you know, in a way, this whole message this morning, brothers and sisters, is going to be a preparation. It's going to set the groundwork. It's going to set the foundation for what we're going to be talking about for the next 7 weeks. Amen. Everybody say 7 weeks. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss it. Okay. Again, we're not trying to get, you know, people to be experts or historians or anything like that, but we want people to be aware. Because I believe when you're aware of our Christian history and our Christian heritage, it'll make us that much more stronger. Can I get an amen? And understanding what we're all about. So in this series, brothers and sisters, we will celebrate one of the greatest revivals in the history of the church. Not the greatest, but one of the greatest. Right, when we think of revivals, I think of the Azusa Street Revival. I think of the revival up there in Scotland. So certainly the revival here in Hawaii was one of them. Amen. And 100,000 souls coming to know Jesus Christ. In this series, we will see how another rival of the kingdom of God could come, a revival of the kingdom of God could come again to our islands. Now, you guys believe that? There could be another revival. Now, what does that mean? When there's a surge of the Holy Spirit's presence, right, in everybody's lives, and it starts with one person. It starts with one person affecting an entire family affecting an entire block affecting an entire community, you know, affecting an entire city, entire island, and then the whole state again is in revival. What does that mean? We will see miracles occur. Amen. You know, when I was, you know, I told the story about how Teresa and I, when we did a mission over in Argentina, I don't speak Spanish fluently, but I do understand. And so this lady came up to me and she goes, you know, I need prayer. She was weeping and crying in Spanish and she was talking so fast, I couldn't understand. But I said, Lord, what does this woman want? I don't know, but you do. And so I began praying for her. I said, Lord, from the bottom of her feet to the top of her head, Lord God, whatever it is, you answer her. I believe for her, Lord God. The following week, we got a report that she was cancer-free. I believe we're going to see more and more. And it already happened in our congregation with Danette. You think that was a fluke? I don't think so. I believe God is eager to make his presence known even more and more and more. So don't miss Matt Sorger next week, Saturday. It's going to be a wonderful time of worship. Amen. Everybody cut loose, Just go for it. Give the Lord all the worship he deserves. Hallelujah. So again, in this series, we will see how another revival of the kingdom of God could come again to our islands. Of course, we have faith for that. In this series, we will see how the kingdom nation of Hawaii was transformed by the King of Kings, the monarchy, right? Talking about the lineage of King Kamehameha. The monarchy of the Hawaiian kingdom came to Jesus. Wow. In this series, we will see how the queens, all the ladies in the house, come on, ladies, woohoo! Right? That was this morning, right after worship, that was a taste of my wife. That was the pastor. You see what I live with? Amen. You know, I tell people all the time, you don't hear Pastor Teresa, you don't see Pastor Teresa, you experience Pastor Teresa. And that's who she is. She's an experience. Amen. And I'm not just trying to butter up for anything, but I am truly a blessed man. I am. I truly am a blessed man. Hallelujah. That was my wife, you know. But 200 years ago, brothers and sisters, 200 years ago, we will see how the queens, the ladies, woo, were especially on fire. The queens. The neck that turns the heads. Right, Laura? The queens were especially on fire for Jesus and led the people in powerful, transformative ways from Kaahumanu to Kapiolani to Emma to Liliuokalani. And now some of you guys from the mainland are like, oh, those are the streets downtown and the boulevards downtown. Yes, now you know where the names came from, right? Isn't that a hospital? I thought that was the name of a hospital. Yes, it is a hospital. Right? Wasn't Emmett? No, Emmett was born at Queens. I was born at Queens. Anybody born at Queens? Yeah, yeah. My sister was born at Kapi'olani. You were born at Kapi'olani? Yeah. So that's where the names came from. Okay. Named after these wonderful women, these wonderful ladies of God, right? In this series, we will tell you the story of a man and his printing press who printed the first books west of St. Louis, Missouri, and the significance of what he had done. Hallelujah. In this series, we will hear how the Kingdom of Hawaii had a literacy rate that was off the charts for that time period, greater than the mainland even. So there was a lot of intelligent, well-educated Hawaiians running around the island. Wow. Okay, you're going to see all this. Next week, you will learn of the fearless young leader of the first missionary team to land on these islands on April 4th, 1820, and the phenomenal commitment and sacrifice they made for Jesus in coming here. Amen. So you guys looking forward to it? It's going to be amazing. It truly is. I believe blessing is going to come at you on a whole different level. It really is. Because you're going to have ammunition to go out there and just share with people and talk with people. Amen. And the significance of how and why we live in such a beautiful place. Right? I talk to a lot of people from the mainland all the time. Why do you guys come to Hawaii? Why do you guys come here? It's so beautiful here. Yeah, it is. You know, it's so funny because when I went to college on the mainland, right, Teresa and I, we went to Notre Dame in California. And as soon as people found out that I was from Hawaii, instant celebrity. Yeah. They're like, you from Hawaii? Yeah. Do you guys like paddle in canoes all the time? Is that how you guys commute, right? Do you guys like pick pineapples off the trees in your backyard? I'm like, kind of. Right? But instant celebrity, the guy from Hawaii, you know, that kind of thing. And that's because, you know, maybe we gotta give credit to Elvis. You know, I don't know all the movies in the 50s, right? Blue Hawaii and all that kind of stuff, right? Elvis made it popular for us. Amen. I don't know, I'm just having fun today. Maybe too much coffee, but yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, you know, these are the kinds of things, right? These are the kinds of things that we ought to talk about with our children. Now, of course, you know, Teresa and I, we never really sat down and said, you know what, kids, all five of our kids, you know what? 1820 was when the first Hawaiian convert, right? And we never said, you know, all the kings and the queens of old Hawaii, you know, they were all Christian. We never had that conversation. We never did. But we did have conversations about our faith. And the point that I want to make, brothers and sisters, is that this is something else that we can talk about during dinner time, during lunch time, during times when we all get together as a family, because the Word of God, Deuteronomy 6:7, says to teach these things to our children, right? Growing up in Hawaii, fourth grade, right? Fourth grade, we have Hawaiian studies. My son, he's only 5 years old. He's in kindergarten, and they have Hawaiian studies now in school. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool, right? So we engage in all these conversations, and I ask him what they're learning, and he's learning like, I don't know, hibiscus, pineapple. Right, who the governor is, you know, all this different thing. He was learning how to count in Hawaiian, right? So we see how it kind of molds and shapes the identity of the children of Hawaii, right? And this is just another thing that we have that we can converse with them, amen? So teach them to your kids. Don't be afraid of having conversations with them. It's a good thing. So week one, today, Henry's heart. Everybody say Henry's heart. A very fascinating character, a very wonderful character. In fact, I just checked with Vance in the back just to make sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Right? Because there's different ways. You know, I've heard so many different people, you know, pronounce his name different ways and maybe even butcher his name, you know. But anyway, Henry's heart, we're going to introduce you to him in a little bit. But if anything, I want you to understand his heart for the people that he had, for the Hawaiian people. Of course, he was Hawaiian. And he found his way all the way on the mainland, right? Lost, dejected, despaired, you know, depressed, all this kind of stuff. And when he finally came into a right relationship with Jesus Christ, he was so excited to go share the gospel with his people, okay? Henry's heart. Amen. So number one, if you're writing notes, you know, tracking along with us, a portrait of the kingdom. We want to give you a picture of what 1820 to 1870 in Hawaii looked like back then. So it was a span of 50 years when the missionaries landed in Hawaii, and then 50 years, 1870, what Hawaii, the nation of Hawaii at that time, looked like. 83% of Hawaii are Christ followers. 83%. That is insanely high. It's exciting, isn't it? Imagine out of every 10 people you're talking to about the gospel, 8 says yes. In fact, even more than 8, right? But 8 says yes. 2 says, nah, that's okay. 83%. And at that time, like I said, the nation of Hawaii was roughly about 120,000 people. 100,000 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. 75% literacy rate, meaning that, man, it was a time when everybody was flourishing. It was a time when Hawaiians were learning how to write, how to read. Very, very educated people. It was amazing. 75% literacy rate. Hawaiian monarchy, Christ followers, right? We're talking about the lineage after Kamehameha the Great, because Kamehameha the Great did not convert into Christianity. He remained true to the old ways, the traditional ways, right? Hawaiian monarchy, Christ followers, Christian education, commerce, and government. And there was also a time when, I believe it was Queen Liliuokalani, when she began enacting all these laws, right? And this was afterwards, but all these laws, and she based all these laws on the Ten Commandments. Wow, and that's how they began, right? Infiltrating the education system with biblical principles, right? How to conduct business, right? And also the government, right? So we see how it was a very, very Christian nation. A written Hawaiian language at that time, largely the Hawaiians, right, were very oral. They would tell their story, right? Mo'olelo. They would tell their story. They would pass it on from generation to generation to generation. Fascinating, right? How they can pass on their stories, how they can pass on their language just by speaking it to their kids, right? But it was Henry Opukahaia who went to Connecticut, got educated, came back, and then taught all the missionaries, taught them how to read and write. Fascinating, right? So they now had a written Hawaiian language, a complete Hawaiian translation of the Bible. Fascinating, right? Because when Henry Opukahia, when he went to Connecticut, he was, of course, native in Hawaiian. He learned English. He learned Hebrew. He learned Greek, and he also knew Latin. How many languages do you know? I know two. English and Pidgin. Right? Pidgin is now an official language. No. But amazing, right? Very, very educated. Smart guy. A complete Hawaiian translation of the Bible. And so he was so excited because he translated all of Genesis from Hebrew to Hawaiian. Yeah? And of course, Christian songs added to the culture. We know that King David Kalakaua, he wrote some songs. And of course, I believe it was Queen Emma that wrote some songs as well. Amen. So number two, if you're tracking along, number two, you can go ahead and write a heart for the kingdom. Henry Opukahaia. Yeah. In fact, his name, Opukahaia, this is just trivia, it means cesarean section, from what I hear. Opu is stomach, right? Yeah. So, I guess he was born as a cesarean section. But a heart for the kingdom. So we want to develop the kind of heart that Henry had for his people, okay? And so just to kind of give you a brief background of Henry, he was born in 1792 in the Kau district of Big Island, war-torn Hawaii. Now, this was a time, of course, this was prior to Kamehameha the Great unifying the entire island. So it was a bunch of chiefs all over the islands, and they were just a bunch of gangs trying to out-bully each other, right? Unfortunately, Henry's family was killed by a rival chief. While trying to escape an attack, he carried his three-year-old brother on his back, and his brother was speared from behind, but Henry lived. And scholars were saying that he was probably about 10 years old at the time. So his three-year-old brother died on his back. His parents were killed, so he was basically orphaned. And from that point on, Henry became the slave of the rival chief that killed his family, right? Living on the Big Island. And so the story goes that he had an uncle who was a kahuna, who was living in the hay house over there. And what happened was he told his chief, the guy who enslaved him, he said, I'm going to go be a kahuna, so can you release me to go be a kahuna and I will study under my uncle? And so, of course, the chief reluctantly let him go, right? And so that's where he kind of grew up and all these kinds of things. But throughout that time, you know, all the ships and the traders, you know, from the mainland, and the white man came with the ships, right? And so they would trade and all this kind of stuff. He would also swim out into Kealakekua Bay, and then he would go meet some of these sailors and all that kind of stuff. So he and his friends, William Kanui, John Honoli'i, George Kaumualii, and Thomas Hopu, decided to escape the wars and violence and stowed away to America on a ship called the Triumph. Amen. Now, I'm thankful that they never made him walk the plank for being a stowaway. Right? Have you ever thought about that? Instead, all these... What is that? One, two, three, four. I think there, four or five of them. They all became cabin boys for the captain, Captain Caleb Britnall of the Triumph ending up in New Haven, Connecticut. So from Hawaii, they said that they traveled all the way to China. And you think about that, China, all around Australia, and then you had to go by like past India, and then you're like south of Europe now, right? And then you got to go by Africa, right? And then there's like South America, and then you go all the way up to Connecticut. Imagine how long that was, their voyage on the ship. Amen? But they became cabin boys. So I believe even at this stage in their life, brothers and sisters, this stage of their journey, God's hand was on them, protecting them, keeping them safe, keeping them healthy, right? Giving them a purpose, although they did not even know what their purpose was. Amazing, right? So here they are, right? I just kind of described their voyage. Here they are in Hawaii, right? And then they ended up all the way in Connecticut. But they cannot go all the way around there. They went all the way around China. So they went westward, yeah? Like how I already kind of described. So one day when he was in Connecticut, right? He was on the East Coast. He was weeping on the steps of Yale College. A senior at Yale named Edwin Dwight found him and asked him, "Why are you crying?" And I thought this is beautiful. He said, "No one give me learning." It's a broken English, right? But he was able to express himself. "No one give me learning." Now, he was weeping, so probably he was homesick. He was frustrated. He was alone. He was desperate. He was hungry. He was cold. It's cold over there on the East Coast, amen? We don't know. Maybe all of the above, right? But no one give me learning. Now, again, the hand of God, brothers and sisters, I believe it was God ordained. Whatever God originates, God orchestrates. Whatever God originates, God orchestrates. And so he was found by Edwin Dwight. Edwin happened to be the nephew of his uncle, Timothy Dwight. Timothy Dwight happened to be the president of Yale College. He was also one of the founders of the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions. They were the organization that funded mission work around the globe. So, with that said, Timothy Dwight now happened to be Henry's mentor. He took him in, took him under his wing, right? Give him something to eat, clothed him. Give him a scholarship, give him a grant to go to Yale of all places, right? And of course, you know, with higher learning and education with Yale, Henry became a very, very, very smart, educated young man, right? In fact, I heard that he had 2 degrees, one from Yale, another one from Andover, something like that. Anyway, smart, smart guy. Like I said, he spoke all those 5 languages, translated Hawaiian, he translated, you know, the Bible, all the scripture into the Hawaiian language. Pretty, pretty amazing. And of course, we celebrate that in 1815, Henry comes to Christ at age 23. Age 23. Okay. Very, very excited to share the gospel with his countrymen. So he starts creating a Hawaiian grammar, spelling book, and dictionary, and shares it with Samuel Ruggles. Samuel Ruggles happens to be on the first missionary team that came to Hawaii. Okay, shares it with him, preparing him. February 17th, unfortunately, 1818, dies of typhus. Sad. Henry Opukahaia never made it back to Hawaii. He died in Connecticut at age 26. Right? I know my heart sank too. Before dying, he writes the memoirs of Henry, inspiring missionaries to Hawaii, including Elisha Loomis. Elisha Loomis, you're going to be introduced to him in a later message. 1993, his remains returned to the Big Island. Deborah Lee, who was a 7th generation descendant of Henry Opukahaia. Right? And of course, I don't know if you guys remember that, but they had a whole ceremony out there at Kealakekua Bay. And they brought his remains back from Connecticut to the Big Island, his original home. Amen. 7th generation. Now think about you. 7 generations from now, right? Your children having children, their children having children, their so on and so on and so on, right? Because each generation is roughly about 30 years, right? So 3 times 7, 210 years, right? Imagine what your family is going to be like because of the decisions that you make today, 200 years from now. How are your descendants going to be? Right? I hope that wakes you up a little bit, yeah? Certainly does for me. So I told myself, I better get my act straight, right? Amen. Me go home, but Hawaii gods in fire, burn them up. They no see, they no hear, no nothing. We make them our God, but our God, he make us. Right? It's a famous quote made from Henry Opukahaia. Of course, this is the heart of Henry, and I want all of us to catch Henry's heart, amen. And I love this, Isaiah 6:8. I thought of Hineni, one of Pastor Teresa's favorite scripture. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Us. Now, the Lord is speaking to the prophet Isaiah, but who is us? I believe it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And if you want to add all the angels in heaven too, sure, go ahead. Primarily, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then I said, here am I, send me. In the Hebrew, it's Hineni. Everybody say Hineni. Hineni means take all of me, Lord. Take all of me. All that I am, I give to you. Now, some of you brothers and sisters may not be called to mission work, and that's okay, right? Some people, they're called to mission work overseas. You know, I was just talking with a young man, 18 years old, last night, and he was talking about how, you know, he went to Indonesia, of all places. He did some mission work over there, just kind of spent some time with the Muslim people over there in Indonesia, and he had a great time there, you know, so on and so forth. And I asked him, how did they treat you, you being Christian? You know, he goes, they were very hospitable people, okay? But the point is, going to a strange land with a strange culture, eating different strange food, you know, taking the risk of people treating you differently, sometimes people treating you badly, but you're doing it for the glory of Christ. Some people may be called to that, some people not, and that's okay. But how's about you? What about the mission that the Lord has for you? In the beginning, you know, I'd heard, here am I, send me, Lord. Send me what? Send me to be the best husband that I can be. Let's just start there. Amen? Send me, Lord, here am I, to be the best father that I can be. I'll just start there, thank you very much. That's how I was. And of course, you stayed faithful to the little things, and the Lord begins to expand your territory. You stay faithful to the little things, he begins to trust you with more and more bigger things. Let's just start. How's that? Right? Hineni, send me. Everybody say Hineni one more time. That's it. Hallelujah. Number three, we honor Henry's kingdom legacy. We honor Henry's kingdom legacy. Amen. And to realize that we are all part of the legacy that began in 1820. Amen. And so you know what I imagine? Brothers and sisters? Well, I'll get to that a little bit. But Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Amen. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, and I believe Henry Opukahaia is up there in heaven right now, and I imagine, you know, like the Olympics, whole stadium of people holding, I don't know, 50,000 people, 100,000 people. That's small compared to the crowd of witnesses up in heaven, looking down on us as we're perpetuating in righteousness. Right? Perpetuating, ongoing in righteousness in Christ Jesus, right? You see how we are all a part of it. Let us strip off every weight. That's, I believe, what Maya Angelou was talking about, the liberation, the freedom. The stripping off all of our weight of our past identity, who we used to be before Christ. And we think about all the pilau things we used to do, right? Stripping off all that stuff, right? And walking as a new creation in Jesus, hallelujah. Stripping off all that stuff that slows us down, especially the sin, the thing in our life that keeps us separated from God, so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So next week, brothers and sisters, we're going to be introducing to you another couple, Pastor Hiram Bingham, the first, and of course his wife, Sybil Bingham, who was on the first missionary team that came to Hawaii. So stay tuned for that. Amen? Pastor Hiram Bingham. And the last thought that I wanted to end is with this. I wanted to end with this, that we all know what a garland of flowers looks like. Yeah? I mean, one of my most favorite things that I've ever experienced in my life was whenever I would travel to the mainland, and Teresa and I, we travel frequently, Teresa and I, but I remember coming home in between breaks, summer times, Christmas breaks, I would come home from college, and whoo, of course we were in the Bay Area, it was kind of cold over there, and I would come home, and as soon as they opened the door, and you walk in the jetway, and then we would land, the first thing I would feel is the warm Honolulu air. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Yes. You remember that feeling of the humidity and the heat and just like a blanket, right? So comforting, like a blanket. And then the next sensation that I would get would be the smell of the plumeria. Oh, I love that. You know, so of course I imagine that's what heaven is like. Right? As a matter of fact, we're going to have some friends flying in today. So we're going to go to the airport today. So we're excited about that. But, you know, just feeling the warm air and smelling the plumeria and all that kind of stuff. It's just, oh, amazing. Amazing. And so we think about how each and every single one of us, brothers and sisters, are connected like a lei. You see the picture I'm trying to create? See the picture I'm getting? Right? We see all these February babies. They got the laser on the neck and all that kind of stuff. It's so cool, but I wanna challenge you, brothers and sisters. Don't just be the orchid in the orchid lei, okay? Don't just be the orchid in the orchid lei. You be the needle. Aha! That connects people to the orchid lei. How's that? That's right, you guys get that? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the garland that we are a part of stems all the way back to 1820, starting with Henry Opukahaia, who was the first ever Hawaiian convert into Christianity. And because of what he did, even though he never made it back, but he trained up all these people in Connecticut, and all these people were inspired by his memoirs. Inspired so much so that they agreed to voyage halfway across the world to a place that is just foreign to them. You might as well send us to the moon. That's how it was, right? Why would we go to these insignificant little islands in the middle of the Pacific? And you know why? Because God loves the people of Hawaii. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll just end there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So with every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for Henry Opukahaia, his courage. We thank you for his experiences, Lord God. And as devastating as a lot of those experiences were, Heavenly Father, we thank you anyway. Because the love and the reverence that he had for you, Jesus Christ, surpassed all that, transcended all that. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that that spirit, that heart, that Henry possessed, Heavenly Father, would permeate all of us, and that you, Lord God, would direct our steps from this day forward into the future that you designed for all of us. Now, all of our assignments can be the same, all of our assignments can be different. You direct our steps, Heavenly Father, because we know that whatever we do, Lord God, will bring glory to you. And so it is exciting, Heavenly Father, to be part of the lay, to be part of that golden thread, Lord God, to be the needle that connects souls together, that spanned over 200 years, and even beyond that, 2,000 years. Heavenly Father, I see the purpose of my life, and I pray that you would show the purpose for the lives of my brothers and sisters within the sound of my voice, Lord God. Touch them. Tell them. Wow. We stand and we sit in awe of your marvelous, majestic presence over the state of Hawaii, Lord God. And so if you're here this morning, brothers and sisters, if you're here this morning, and you don't know this God, the uncreated one, the unchangeable one, the God that has been the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you don't know this God, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that right now, to meet him, because he is eager to meet with you. Now, if you're here and you're saying, you know what, Pastor Glenn, I got to get my life right. I'm excited. I want to know Jesus more. I want to know God more. And I'm excited about the purpose that God has for my life. If that's you this morning, brothers and sisters, if that is you, just go ahead and raise your hands. Amen. We see you, brother. I see you. God sees you. Hallelujah. And if you're here this morning and you said, you know what, Pastor Glenn, I used to follow Jesus, but for whatever reason, I fell away. I made some dumb decisions, you know. It happens to all of us. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. The wonderful news is that God loves us anyway. He loves you. And so he's thankful that you're here. We're thankful that you're here. So if you want to renew your relationship in right standing with Jesus Christ, just go ahead and raise your hands. Raise your hands. Yes. Yes, the Lord sees you. You can put your hands down. And so we thank you once again, Lord God. Everybody repeat after me, I am a new creation. I look to you, Lord Jesus, because I know you have a wonderful future for me. You have a wonderful future for my descendants. And I thank you, Lord God, for being a part of a wonderful family, a wonderful heritage, a wonderful ohana, as we perpetuate the kingdom of God together for the glory of Christ. And all in agreement say, amen, amen. And we're going to go ahead and, because it's Family Sunday, I'm going to ask my brothers over here to pass out the elements as we break bread together. Hallelujah. Amen. And like I said, brothers and sisters, it's a wonderful celebration, amen, to truly understand how God has been moving in our lives, how God has prepared this wonderful environment to grow. You know, my life's passage, my life scripture happens to be 92:13, Psalms 92:13, and it says, planted in the house of the Lord, we shall flourish in the courts of our God. Amen. Now, how many of you want to flourish out there? How many of you guys want to prosper? How many of you guys want to do wonderful things for the Lord? How many of you guys want to live a life that is beyond you? How many of you guys want to live a life that will significant. So it would have significant impact, significant meaning beyond who we are when we're gone. Amen. It's amazing. It's amazing. A life in Christ will open your mind up to see a lot of different things that He's doing in our midst. Amen. I want to encourage you to, when you read the New Testament, you see how so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so begat so-and-so. Don't just skip over that stuff. Challenge yourself to read it. And then you'll realize, like, wow, God stays in a family line for all of eternity. It's us that decide whether we want to stay with Him or not. And that's a scary feeling. Because like I said, brothers and sisters, the decisions that we make today affects our kids, affects our children, our grandchildren. Amen. But we celebrate. We celebrate just like Jesus did. Amen. Everybody say just like Jesus. Jesus sat around with His disciples and they celebrated. Right? Even though it could have been a somber night, this is the night when Jesus was betrayed. He was getting ready to go to His death. He knew it, you know. But as He was preparing His disciples, they sat around, reclined at the dinner table. He said, "This is my body that will be broken." So He took the bread, He blessed it, He broke it, He passed it around. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body that will be broken, that will heal, that will give you strength. The bread that we can live off of. Our daily bread, Lord God." So we thank You, Heavenly Father. Brothers and sisters, the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in the same way, when He took the cup of the new covenant, the cup of wine, He passed it around. He said, "Take, drink, for this is my blood that will be shed for the payment of sins for all mankind." Brothers and sisters, the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray, brothers and sisters. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. For Yours is the power, the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.